Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Fondle, Chronicles of a Favored Woman. My name is Fashina Kirkendall, and it's indeed a pleasure and an honor to be here. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. I cannot begin to tell you how excited I am about this evening, but I don't start anything without going into prayer, so let's just go ahead and do so. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and we praise you. We give you the honor and the praise. I thank you for just being who you are, our Jehovah Jireh, our provider, our Jehovah Nisi, our Jehovah Tiskanu. I thank you for being our Jehovah Shalom, the one who provides the peace of all understanding for us, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for who you are. I thank you, Lord, for who you are, Lord. I thank you as we come into this 2022 year, the year of double portions, double blessing, double anointing. And thank you, Lord, as we begin to sow from all we reap, from all the seeds that were sown in 2021. I thank you, Lord, for the guest that's coming on tonight. I thank you to cover her, her family, and everything that's connected to her, Lord. I thank you for the listeners that you have that's near and far in the States and outside of the States. I thank you for the people you have strategically designed to hear this message tonight, Lord. And Lord, as I humbly come to you, Lord, I submit myself and I surrender Fuchina, Lord. And I invite your Holy Spirit to come in, not just in my life, but into our guest, Ms. Shayna's life tonight, Lord, that we humbly submit ourselves to you, Lord. We give you the honor and we give you the praise. We give you full authority and autonomy, Lord. We thank you for sending those angels out there for making the crooked path straight. And we just thank you for blocking any attacks or anything that may be trying to come in our lives or the ones that are connected to us. And Lord, as we move forward, Lord, with this subject tonight, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for what will happen as a result. As we become the root, our root becomes our fruit. In Jesus' name, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. So once again, like I said, thank you for tuning in to Chronicles of a Favored Woman, not Fondle, a Favored Woman. It is indeed my pleasure and honor tonight to be with you, and I am so excited. I'm going to turn my volumes and stuff off because I have had a very exciting weekend. I am a mother first, and it was play date weekend, sleepover weekend, and those who have children, I don't even have to tell you what that's about, but I made it. I made it, and the kids are satisfied because Chyna loved the kids. So as we move forward, Lord, moving forward, this is actually a part two of this series tonight, and who knows where God is going to lead us with it, but it is called Your Root Becomes Your Fruit. And honey, the last time we was on the show and I had this young lady, this powerful woman of God, Ms. Shayna Asbury, she tore up the screen, and so this subject is so wide, it's so broad, and so I'm just grateful that she decided to agree to come in tonight to help us. So I'm just going to, you know, without further ado, I'm going to present to some and introduce to others Ms. Shayna Asby. For coming tonight, Ms. Shayna. It is a privilege and a pleasure to have you not once, but twice.
Oh, no. The pleasure is all mine. Like, when I say I'm so appreciative of you, you know, stepping into purpose and moving in with God to do this podcast and this show. So I just want to say thank you for having me.
It's a blessing. You know, God is nothing to play with, you know. He will bring the resources and plant the seeds. And as I was sharing with some people I got an opportunity to speak to, I was just like, you know, we met on Clubhouse.
Yes.
I remember when I came into, you know, to the clubhouse, I was just coming to be a spectator, you know, just kind of listen and kind of kick back. And next thing I know, I was talking a lot. I was like, okay, Lord, all right. But as a result, you know, there are some things where you, when you have like-minded people that just automatically connect. And that's how I felt happened between us. We just automatically connected. It's just like a bond. Just, you know, to have mutual things, to go through so many things in life. This topic tonight, your root becomes your fruit, is so, 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 so deep. It's more so, you know, when we did it last time, it was scratch the surface. But now you can just take, you know, when you talk about roots, when you think of what roots are and what they symbolize, you know, that is something serious. That is something really serious. So as we move forward tonight, I just want to say this. Before I do, I want to thank everybody who is tuning in to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman and who has been hanging in with me. We're into our third year of Chronicles of a Favorite Woman, and it has just been, you all know it started off as a fondled woman and then realized that, hey, I'm not broken anymore. I am now healed. So moving into Chronicles of a Favorite Woman, and we are in our third season. So I am so appreciative, and I'm humbled by the fact that people all over the United States have been tuning in, but then I'm even more humbled when I see people outside of the country, outside of the United States, that are tuning in and tapping in. So when you think people are not paying attention to you, they are paying attention to you. So you have to be careful. You know, you can't walk like a dog and talk like a cat. Now, we all fall short, don't get me wrong, but I'm talking about going off the deep end or whatever. But, you know, let me take that back, too. We all fall, but we all have to stay. You know, we all got to get up. And the thing is not staying stuck. So with that being said, I just want to thank you. And as we go into our new year Chronicles, more things are happening. I will say this, that we have now become registered as an LLC. So I'm extremely happy about that. So look for more to come. Now, without further ado, Ms. Shayna, I want to ask you three questions I asked you before. Who you are, what you do, and why you love what you do.
Who you are, what you do, and why. So my name is Shayna Asby. I am considered a family life coach, where I actually help families learn about themselves and help engage them, build a bond between family and family members. My niche right now that I'm focusing on is mothers. So I am working with mothers right now. I actually have a podcast called The Mother's Place, as well as I have a clubhouse space called The Mother's Place, where we have women on the stage who are mothers. Anybody can jump in or pop in, and we help talk about certain subjects and situations that may actually start, you know, help mothers, or maybe something that is they're dealing with and don't want to talk about. But it's all about empowering each other and, you know, rebuilding and strengthening and realigning mothers, because some of us as mothers, we've become to take on identities of other people or lose our identity and becoming mother. So that is what I do, and I love it. But I do that because of knowing my root and how my root became my fruit. So this is a part of the good fruit from my root, to where God has now healed me in certain areas, and I'm willing to pass on that message to other people to help them heal.
Awesome. And, you know, what better way to do it is being the testimony of what you have been healed from to help others. Because a lot of people, I mean, you have people out there that say they're this and they're this, and they have degrees behind them. However, they don't have the experience. And I'm sorry, you may have whatever degree you want to have, but if you've not been through what I've been through, you can't understand where I am or what I'm going through. Right. So I love the fact of doing that. You know, I love the fact of us doing that. So I want to go back to our first segment that we had where we were speaking about your root becomes your fruit. And we talked about how things happen in our lives from, you know, I always say a mother is going to teach you what she knows because that's all she knows. And, you know, sometimes we miss the mark as mothers. Sometimes we get it on point. But that's what we end up doing. We end up going there. And there are times when we try to teach our children. Well, I heard this today on Dale Bonner. And he said, you know, sometimes we're always giving our children what we didn't have, but we should give them, oh, gosh, I forgot it because I'm trying to remember it. But it's, we're always trying to compensate for what we didn't have as kids, but we need to give them what we didn't have, meaning if we're not one that had much education, we need to push our children further to get the education, you know, and not try to weigh them down. I won't say weigh down because kids enjoy it. But we try to use materialistic things to get them back on board, you know, to get favor, and we miss out on it. So being the root of, you know, this subject of the root, being that your root becomes your fruit, I want to talk more about it. And I invited you to come back because this is such a broad and deep topic that needs to be discussed. So I'm going to let you have the floor and let's talk about, we talked about, you know, the effects of how when we raise our children, you know, we kind of look at, oh my gosh, this is what we went through. And here we are doing it to our children. But let's talk about, that's what we're talking about tonight. As of the result of what happens to us when our when we become the fruit of our root.
So, yes, I definitely want to talk about that. And there's a two part to that because you have the part to where you're broken and you're passing on broken and broken pieces and who you hurt in the transformation in that process. But then you have the healed person. The person who God has allowed to become healed and how they look at life now in a different perspective. So I definitely would like to talk about that. So in the brokenness of people, we tend to, I was just on an interview with someone and she said we bleed all over the place when we have broken pieces. When we're broken, we're bleeding all over other people. That's exactly what she said. Her name was by the name of Jennifer Palmer. We do. We bleed all over other people. So that means that now, because I'm broken, but remember, I'm not in a mindset of being broken. I'm just thinking that this is life. I'm thinking this is life.
So you're broken and don't know you're broken.
Broken without knowing that you're broken.
Mm-hmm.
I call that, that was that time frame when we were all, when we were asleep. We weren't being aware of what we were doing. We weren't thinking about that we were connected to other people. We were just moving through life. We were doing things that we had no business doing. You know, I laugh with my girlfriends, but we don't. It's a really a cry with a laugh about when we were broken when we were younger and how we as girls would just do things to get attention. If we didn't get attention at home, we didn't get attention from our parents, we didn't get that nurturing, we didn't get that talk, or that empowerment or that encouragement. So guess what we do as girls? We find it somewhere else.
Yep.
We go look for a father figure and a man. We go look for an auntie, a mother, somebody that equates to our mother. We go looking for what it is that we know is missing. But the crazy part about it is we don't even know what we're looking for because we never have.
Exactly. It's like, it's almost like we create a facade for ourselves or what we feel it should be.
Yes. But the thing about it is that you know that there's something missing.
Well, you know, so, I kind of need to differ to that one because sometimes you don't know because you're just going based on false perceptions.
So this is how I look at it, is that when I look at my friends or maybe I have a girlfriend that's down the street or somebody that's across the street. When I see their father taking out time with them, mm-hmm. Oh, your father brought you, your father brought you to school today? Oh, wow. Oh, wow, you have a father to go to the father's day event? Did your mom make your lunch? Your mom said that? You get what I'm saying? So it's like,
right?
You know, what's that? It sparks me as different because I don't know what that is. You know?
Right.
And that's what I mean by, you know, knowing that it's something missing. And when you see something different and then you realize, like, wow, I didn't get that.
Uh-huh.
I didn't have it. So then what goes on is,
No, it's like an eye-opening experience. Like, oh my gosh, that you know that actually exists. Yep.
Yes.
At least for me, it was.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And when I saw it, I was like, wow. You know, it was like, is this what it is? And a lot of us, you know, we know what's missing. We see that it's something different, but we don't know that it's missing all the way in us because it has many parts with that. So we go into other relationships with people wanting them to fulfill the things that we didn't have. Ooh, let's go back. We go into relationships with other people wanting them to fulfill the things that we didn't have ourselves because we were broken.
Exactly.
So if I didn't get that love, if I didn't get that nurturing, if I didn't get that support, if I didn't get that caring, that being rocked in the cradle, I'm looking for my spouse to obtain those things that I should already have for myself. And that right there starts an onset of different things because he may be broken as well. Because a lot of times, us as broken people attract other broken people.
Most definitely. It's funny you said that. I had some people on the show last weekend, and it was one of those situations where infidelity was involved, and the other woman, came into. But they indicated she was broken, he was broken. When two broken people get together who don't know they're broken, they can see the brokenness in other people through the brokenness in themselves, and it just becomes like a big clash, bam, 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 and it leads to other things, infidelity, you know, the low self-esteem, it can lead to addiction, but I'm sorry, I digress, I'm going to let you move forward.
No, I definitely understand that because I saw that in my household. I saw the infidelity. Mm-hmm. I saw my mother go through depression. I saw my mother give up because she felt like, all she wanted was the white picket fence with the dog in the back and the marriage. I saw my father not being home, and he took care of everything. I saw those things. And even as I became older, I started attracting men that were broken because I was broken, and they were like my father. Then I had, I never stopped to think that there was a point in time I was becoming like my mother. But I fought it. There were things that I would fight. But then there were some things that would creep through anyway. Within the brokenness. And I would hurt people in my broken area. Now, the hardest part is that when those people that really cared for you or wanted to help you heal, that you hurt them. And you severed the relationship, or the relationship becomes severed because of that broken part. That is like a wake-up call.
Yeah. Oh, is it not? And when the time it becomes a wake-up call, it's too late, and that's when we realize this person actually meant me good.
Yes.
They meant me.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's a really big part of the acid. That's a really one of the major, I would say one of the major components of the aftermath of the root become your fruit. And, you know, we creating this facade or false reality that we do. But, you know, let's think about why we do it. That reality is usually set up, and I'll just say for me, when I created my reality. It was my protective field to keep me protected from being hurt or violated. Whatever it did, I felt like it was a protection. And it was all I knew because that's all I grew up with.
Yes.
That's all I grew up with. And you're right, your root does become your fruit. Now, on top of that, creating the protective environment for myself, you know, now I got to deal with constant rejection, constant abandonment, constant this, constant that, on top of it. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm, you know, like Terrell Owens, I love me some me. So I'm going to do whatever I can to protect me. And a lot of females and men, you know, we're going to do whatever we need to do to protect ourselves. And we could care less about what you think, because it's not about what you think. I just know I'm not going to get hurt anymore, and I'm not going to allow anybody else to hurt me anymore.
So, yes, and that is another part of the aftermath of being a broken person. Me as a female, I became this, I don't care. I don't care about what anybody thinks. I don't care about who you are. What I care about is me. And so me protecting me is I'm going to protect me, and I'm going to get them before they get me. And if I see them coming to be a threat towards females or be a threat towards women, I'm going to get them, because I have it out for them, because what my father did to my mom or what I get tired of men doing. So I became that other person, my alter ego. And I call her Red. I called her Red. And she was not the best of person. She didn't care about who she hurt, what she did in the midst of hurting. You know, she just put on this, it was like a numbness, but it was a power in creating this alter ego. Because it got to the point where I didn't care. And so I became everything that empowered or was powerful when it came to a sexually seductive woman.
Yes.
That part. Dogging them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you're right. That attitude is, I'm going to get me. I'm going to get you before you get me. And I don't care. And you know what? Self-sabotaging comes into play.
Yes.
Because even, you know, that mode of, I'm going to get you before you get me, sometimes it's not like that. But we create this false facade thinking, you know, everybody else has done this to me. You're no different. But if you did something to trigger something, then you automatically went into that category when it's just an isolated incident. And you find yourself sabotaging a good, healthy relationship. And it's interesting because as people, it's addicted to pain. We know pain is not comfortable, it's not fair, it don't feel good, but it's fateful. And most of us, like myself, became addicted to pain because I didn't know what it's like, or I didn't understand when someone actually meant me well, because as far as I'm concerned, no one meant me well. That's how I felt, because that's all I've been going through, abandonment, abuse, rejection, whatever. So even when someone came to me and was genuine, I couldn't decipher the genuineness until way after the fact, and it's too late.
And when I tell you, like, I remember I had a great boyfriend at one time, and it was just right when I came out of my divorce. You know, I just left my ex-husband, and at this time, again, I'm stepping back into that person. See, I tried it. When I went into the marriage, I decided to try to hide that other person because I didn't want that person anymore. Mm-hmm. So I tried to get into the marriage and be the wife, the mother, the everything. And it did not work because they were broken. So it was time to come out of it. So then when I came out of it, I was free. I was bopping. I was all over the place. That's what they call it. The young people call it bopping. I was all over the place. And I was doing the same thing, and I had became back into that person that I used to be. And that's because I did not heal. And I met this guy who was a great guy. He was younger than me. And my mother said when I met him, he was a boy. When he left, he was a man. Because he was quiet. Right. Ain't that something? But I did so, when I say I did so much, I was still hanging in the streets. I was still hanging at clubs. I was getting men back. I was doing all of that. But he was being serious. And it had become so toxic or become so so much that if I was mad, he would be like, oh, she'd be all right. But he was being toxic as well because even when I was trying to leave him and break up, he didn't want to let me go. He would find some reason to hold on. If he caught me cheating, if he caught me into something, he still was holding on. He was still holding on. And, when I realized that one day I said, okay, I'm going to focus on my relationship. I'm going to let this other stuff go. Now he's looking at me because he think I'm cheating. It's flipped. So when I'm not cheating, he thinks I'm cheating. When I'm cheating,
right?
He thinks I'm not cheating.
Exactly. It's like truth. People can't handle truth. They do. They will handle and absorb a lie faster than they will the truth. It's so funny you said that because we definitely have so much in common because I would tell people straight up what the deal is. And there's no misunderstanding. I've never been one to play the game or whatever the case may be. Nope, this is what you deal with. And when it comes to fruition, then you get upset. But why are you upset? Because I told you what was what in the beginning. And it has been an interesting ride, to say the least. Thank God for deliverance is all I will say.
Yes.
But it was all about me. I didn't care who feelings got hurt. It was all about me. And honestly, I wanted people to feel the same pain I felt.
Right.
And that's really the bottom line. I wanted people to feel the same pain I felt. And I'm just like you when you mentioned that when you get to a point where you just become numb. I literally became numb.
Yes, you become numb, and it's so crazy because in reality, it was really a cry for help. It was really a cry for help. And I didn't realize it until I went back to Detroit for something, and I think my grandmother had passed away. Yes, my grandmother had passed away. And I ran into somebody that I had met years ago. And I really found this person attractive. And I really was, it was something about this person. And I made a mistake and called him three times because they had the same name as my mom's boyfriend. I was trying to call him, and I was calling him by accident. And when I had this conversation with this person years later, like right after that, I said, oh, my God, I got to talk to this person because I keep making a mistake and call him. That's not right. Mm-hmm. So let me go ahead and speak to them. This person knew me in my brokenness. He used to hear about me in the neighborhood. I mean, oh, my God, I don't even when I say it was so bad. He knew all my brokenness.
Trust me,
I'm
right there with you. Mm-hmm.
Yes, when they knew you in that stage. And he wanted to know me, but in conversation, he listened to me, which nobody ever listened, and then he saw me. And it stopped me in my tracks. And I was able to release with him, upon time, all of my broken pieces.
How did you feel at that moment when you were able to do that?
So the first thing I remember telling him was, oh, my God, you my husband. That was the first thing. That was the first thing I said. And, he's not my husband, but he was the person who God had sent to help me with my broken pieces. And so once I started releasing, God utilized or used him to help me heal, and it felt so much better. And I was still trying to, I was still in that relationship in Atlanta. I was still trying to do my dirt other places, like, you know, with these guys and, you know, shake them up. And, you know, I was the type of girl, I had one car, belonged to one guy, living with another girl. I was just horrible.
Yes.
And then
your ratchet stage, as I like to call myself, in my ratchet stage.
In my ratchet stage. And I remember this last guy.
Stage.
Yes. And I remember this last guy that I had ran into, nice looking guy, living in, he was in Atlanta, and he was about to be my last victim because he was a tall, nice looking guy. And I saw him at another club in Atlanta. I went across the street. He came over there to that club, to that place. And I watched this guy as he walked in. I'm talking to my girlfriend, like, oh, look at this. She was like, what's the odds that he would come over here? I said, good question. Like, what is the odds of that? So I saw this guy, like, hugging everybody, talking to everybody. I said, oh, he a regular. Like, this is me sizing him up. This is how bad I was. Sizing him up. I said, oh, he a regular. Do you know he came over there as if he knew me? Like, we knew each other? I said, oh, he got a lot of confidence. That's arrogance with that. He came over there and he sat down. He started talking to me. In my mind, I'm like, yeah, you my next victim. And he goes to pull out a picture of a set of twins that that were newborn. So, you know, I really had a defect.
He pulled out a picture of what?
A set of twins that were newborn.
Oh, wow.
To show me a picture.
Okay.
So, you know, in my mind, I had a set of disgust.
Mm-hmm.
Like, somebody's at home with these babies, and you out here being a regular.
In the street.
You're sitting
in
here
the street.
At Montaigne in these streets. And
so
I can remember.
Go ahead.
I can remember my friend that I was talking to said, Shayna, stop. No more. No more. And I, when he said that, I had to look at myself and stop. Go ahead with your question. Right. Right. I know. This is deep, ain't it?
I know. Well, I imagine. Let's say this. Thank God for deliverance.
Yeah.
Thank God for deliverance. And for those who are just tuning in, my name is Bettina Kirkendall. You're tuning in into Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. I thank you all for tuning in all over the place, in the States and outside of the United States. I thank you very much. I am so excited because I just saw someone chiming in, and I'm looking forward to having her on the show. But tonight, my special guest is a returning guest, and she is a powerful woman of God, Ms. Shayna Asby. And we're going back into diving in, Your Root Becomes Your Fruit, The Aftermath. So going back to Ms. Shayna, you know, let me tell you, sweetheart, you're not the only person. When I say ratchet, I believe that my picture is beside that that word in the whatever, because they got so many words in and Webster Dictionary that I thought they would not put in there, but it's in there. But ratchet probably is one of them. And I get to say that. Let me ask you this. Going through what you've gone through in that period of time, you know, we all know it starts with our root. Your root was because of your household, you know, the abuse that you endured sexually, the rejection, the abandonment, and just a totality of a lot of stuff, negative and toxic behaviors and stuff. And putting up that defense shield where nobody's going to hurt me. I'm going to, you know what, because you know at least the one word, control. I'm going to take control of what happens to me because I didn't have control when those things happened. Would you say that's a true or false statement?
It's true.
Yeah.
I wrote this in my book. My book is now completed. And I said that I was a product of brokenness. And what I didn't realize is that as a child, my parents and my step-parents were actually creating my identity.
Mm. And we do as parents. Yeah. Yes, we do.
Exactly. And so I decided that no longer would I let anyone put me in that state of not knowing self, not controlling. And so I took power. It was power in what I was doing. It was powerful, you know. And but then when that particular friend had me stop and helped me heal, and it took years. When I say it took years of this person helping me heal, it took years. Because he didn't realize how much it was, but at the same time, he didn't realize the connection that we had. And it turned into, man, it turned into so much. And I can remember him, it's so funny when I think about it, because we ended up falling in love with each other. Now, that was another toxic situation. Because it was a real, right, exactly. And this person was like my best friend. And so we fell in love with each other. That's another ouch, right? And so in the process of that, I can remember sitting up here, listen to this, but when I say we fell in love, it wasn't just an intimacy thing. It was more so of I had somebody I can connect with. He knew my brokenness. I knew this person's brokenness. We can come together and sit and listen to Tupac and the Black Butterfly CD that's by Kendrick Lamar. And we can break it down all night. We were, in a literal sense, we were great with poetry. So we connected right there. We had so many connections. It was so powerful that I can remember one night I woke up and I said, I love the root of you. In my sleep, I woke up and said that. And that's when I realized that my spirit was always still going when I wasn't even trying to say it out my mouth, and that was my heart speaking. And so in that process, I remember him telling me, Shayna, are you present? It was two things he drilled into me. You always have, and he said, women need to stop having that trampoline, that safety net of another man waiting for the other person to leave. So once I get out of this relationship, I always have a safety net so I can run into another relationship. But he got me with that one. The second one he got me was Shayna, you have to be present. He used to say this to me all the time. I was like, what are you talking about? I got to be present. And in actuality, I wasn't present. And he's pouring out his love to me. He's professing his love to me. But because I wasn't present, You know what I'm saying? Like, no. All I want you to do is stay as us. But that comes from my brokenness, too, because my mother abandoned me. She rejected me. So did my father rejected me and abandoned me. So all I wanted to do was feel wanted. I just wanted to be wanted. I wanted somebody to fight for me. My mother didn't fight for me. My father didn't. Nobody fought for me. So when it came to him, I just wanted him to say, it's just us. But he wouldn't give me, it's just us. Because that was something with him that he was dealing with. But he would tell me, it is us. We do everything that a couple would do. And we were doing a lot of things that a couple would do. But because all I wanted was, it's just us.
Mm-hmm.
All I wanted was, it's just us. And so that was the part that I was like, oh, my God. I'm sorry.
Did you need, like, a constant validation?
Yes.
Okay.
I needed somewhat of a validation because all my life I had none.
Mm-hmm.
I had no security. I had no, you know, confirmation. I had no stableness. I had wondering. And so, but the great thing about him beating that into me or saying it all the time is that one day it just all clicked.
Mm-hmm.
And I started changing. But what I realized is that when me and him would go through a breakup or I would leave him for somebody else because I thought he wasn't giving me enough when he really was, I would come back and I would be on a higher level, meaning that I've been and shedded those old things and I'm a new person because I realize now that sometimes It takes one person to water the seed and another person to let it, you know, to cultivate it and for it to grow. And so the more that I was in his face, I wasn't able to see what he was talking about. And it made sense. You get what I'm saying? Even as we talk about Christians, it's helping other people or God or people helping us or giving us a word. We're not supposed to follow that same person that gave us the word and follow on their heels and everything. God is not going to work. How can God move? Sometimes we got to move out the way and allow God. And what I didn't realize is that every time I was leaving him, every time I left him, I would be better. But every time I come back, it would be worse for him. But he would always put me back in. We were so connected.
You know,
right. That part.
That part.
You know, it's funny because I looked up the definition of broken. And it's an adjective and also an adjective. They have two of them. Having been fractured or damaged and no longer in one piece or working in order. And the second one is of a person having given up all hope, despairing. Would you say that at some point, good evening, Ms. Trustee, would you say at some point that you gave up hope? Because I hear the part about you didn't have that person that will protect you. If nobody understands that, oh, my Lord. So I do. I had that sense, and still do to a degree, that nobody defended me or had my back. You know, you told me that you've been telling me, you know, some of the things that you've gone through, especially with your friend, you know, when you cross the boundaries with your friend. So now the friend is now, I won't say what I used to call it, but just so the boundaries have been crossed. So are you all still friends to this day?
Our friendship is broken. Our friendship is not broken right now, and we're trying to figure it out. We can't even – it's so crazy because as I was growing, he wasn't growing with me. So it even got to a point where I outgrew him. And
– so where are you now?
So now it's like we love – when I say L-O-V-E, there's no – If somebody would say you love him, he loved you, yes, we love each other. When I say we love each other, because he helped me, you know what I'm saying, and we were there for each other. I'm talking about this person, we were so connected. This is the real, this is the truth, that we would have the same dream sometimes. There was even times where he would dream for me. And, like, we really love each other. But because I've gone so far and I'm so far ahead, I'm not ready to let it go because he helped heal me. God used him to heal me. And then it's like I would let it go and then I would fight it. And then he would make me see some things I was doing. Like one thing he brought up, he said, you couldn't stand for me to have a conversation with your sister because your sister wanted me. And I was like, yes, that's true, because I knew who she was. She was the type that would sleep with a boyfriend. She would sleep with somebody just because he was broken. He said, but how do you think I felt when you was hanging with this other person, you know, who was like a brother to me? He was like a brother to me, but he was his friend. Because we had, like, our families knew each other. We knew each other's family. You know, he knew my family. Mm. And I said, you're right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I should never have went over there to hang with him, knowing that he did have attractions to me, even though I looked at him as a brother. But that was me and my brokenness. I had become comfortable with men. I had become so comfortable with men that I would put myself in situations. And what if he would have tried me? You get what I'm saying? How did that make him feel as being my friend that I'm kicking it with, even though we're not calling it a relationship? That was wrong of me. But because I didn't even realize what I was doing, and it hurt me. So, you know, and I realized that, and I was like, oh, my God. But at the same time, I'm like, you knew my brokenness, and you helped me heal through it, and yet you judged me after I'm healed.
Right.
That's the part that I couldn't understand. But at the same time, he had become broken and healing me, helping me heal. And so, and then God is like dealing with me right now on the power of two. And that, you know, we have to learn from our mistakes and heal those things so we can go forward. But yet we as women, we still need men. And yet men still need women. So now we have women, as my this girl I just interviewed said, she said women are doing the work. But now that women are doing the work, the men aren't doing the work. So
exactly.
Where did we, that part.
Yeah. That I had to have a self-evaluation of myself because I had a tendency of becoming the aggressor. I would usually, like, if I set my sight on someone, I will become the aggressor and forget that as a woman, there's a certain place I'm supposed to be in. And but I wouldn't, you know, I wanted what I wanted, and I would go after it. And it was so bad that I found myself being a control freak as a result of it. Mm-hmm. And I've lost some good people behind it because I wanted to be in control. You know, I wouldn't give the men the opportunity to be a man. And I remember my cousin telling me one day, a man doesn't want to date another man.
That's right.
I said, what do you mean by that? And he was like, you need to allow a man to be a man. And my brother said, as men, we're going to mess up. We are going to mess up. But let it be, we'll come, a man will always come back. You know, because I was at Tennessee. Now, that was dumb. Everything about that is just dumb. Yes, you're right, personally. Alpha female is what I am. Well, I won't say I'm not as bad as I used to be. But I would just, like, railroad them. Like, you know, I would just grind and grind and grind because my goal was to attack that character. And if I can make you weak, I can manipulate you. And I realized that's not cool. And when I learned my place as a woman, even as far as opening the doors to me and stuff like that, like, no, I got it. And then my cousin said, yeah, exactly. Not realizing, girl, you don't even realize what you're saying about yourself, you know, because I didn't have that self as stated in the comments, and that alpha female, I got control. It's my house and I live here, or it's whatever. I had to have control until I had to learn. I had to learn great, and I just had to learn I had to learn my place. It's okay for them to open the door. That's what, you know, that's what you want them to do. And so now I don't even open my doors no more. I wait. But it took a while for me to learn that. It took a while for me not to be the aggressor on trying to get a relationship started. Going back to the point we were making earlier in reference to we as women start doing the work. And males don't do anything now because we doing all the work. And that's so out of order on so many levels.
And what I mean by we're doing the work, it's like we're doing the work on self-work. We're doing the self-healing. We're actually getting the healing. We're recognizing our flaws. We're doing this. We're stepping into roles. We're becoming, like I told somebody else the other day, I was in a room on Clubhouse and they were so negative about women because we have a lot of men that's out there negative about women. And he said, women aren't doing this. Oh, no. I said, I don't know what your algorithm on your timeline is, but my, on your Facebook, but my algorithm and my timeline and my Facebook, women are winning. My algorithm. I said, because sometimes we might need to change our algorithm. And maybe it's the women that you look at that might be doing what Cardi B is doing, that's following Megan Thee Stallion, that's following all these. Mm-hmm. Because the women that I see on my timeline in my room, they're powerful. They're God-fearing. Yes. They're lovable. They're looking. They're doing the work. They're challenging themselves. They're healing themselves. They're helping heal other people. Those are the women that I see in my circle on my timeline. So that, again, goes back to perspective. That's your perspective of what you see because the algorithms have now attained to your perspective. But until you see yourself, go ahead, please.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, until you see yourself and heal that and start looking outward differently, then the algorithm would change.
Exactly. And I have this post on Messenger that says chivalry, and you're absolutely right. And when I learned that, life became much better for me. And I'm learning that more and more each day. You know, assertive and powerful, yes. You know, I was once told by my ex, he said, Tina, aggressive but not abrasive.
That's right.
I've never forgotten that. Aggressive but not abrasive. It's okay to be aggressive but not abrasive in it. Not with the bumps and the bruises and the tearing down of men, because that was my pleasure, actually. You know, you give me a reason to do it, because it was controlled. Once again, but now that you've brought up about the self-care and the self-love, that is so important now, because we're in a society now, listen, we don't know if we're going to see tomorrow. We really don't. We really don't. And going on to the self-care portion, taking care of ourselves, and also knowing our place. It is okay. Fall back. Take care of you. If they don't want to be bothered with you, okay. That's my word. Okay. And I leave it alone. I'm not mad. I'm not upset. I'm good. And I'm okay, because I couldn't, it's the rejection. God is still working on me on the rejection part of when someone tells me no. I'm still being worked on that. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm talking about things with emotional things and stuff like that. You know, control and past pain. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. But I'm learning that when I learn how to be by myself and be okay with me, Darrell Owens says best, I love me some me. And once I discovered me, and who I am and whose I am, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. I don't have to have that man in my life anymore like I used to. I don't have to have that attention like I used to. I am reassured, because if nobody has my back in life, I know the Lord Jesus Christ does, because that's who brought me where I am now. I know that he got me. I'm still a work in progress. I'll be the first one to admit. What about you, Shayna?
Yes, I'm a work in progress, even with the situation with my friend, because now that we have went through all these things, and I remember the turning point in our what we had was the day that I said, now here I am. I'm in the South. He's in the Midwest, all the way north, right? And I'm going through things here. So what I realize is that we'll be going through the same thing in different places. That's how deep it was.
Yeah.
We're going through the same thing in different places. And one day I was going through something so much that I had to pick up the phone and call him and say, what are you going through? It was like I had just realized how connected we were, right? So I said, what are you going through? What are you doing? What's going on? He said, I told you, Shayna, I'm going through a lot, and I'm going through a lot with my family right now. And so, yes, I'm going through it. You know what I did? I actually picked up, because I realized how connected we were. And it's so crazy because we're still like that now to a point. I picked up everything I had. No, I picked up and I went to visit home in Detroit. And when I went to Detroit, I saw people's light out. Do you know what I mean by that?
Right.
So when you watch the movie Trolls and everybody is like happy, happy, you know, remember they were happy, they were singing. But then as they went through a traumatic experience, it would turn their light out. So they wouldn't be the happy troll. They'd be the grumpy troll. And you would actually see their light out. So I would see people with their lights out. And when I got to my best friend's house, this whole trip was about this best friend. This whole trip was about this guy who God used to help me. And when, so it was like I had abandonment and rejection issues. He had abandonment issues too, but I kept leaving because God kept on telling me it's time to go. I had to leave. So when I went down there, when I went there, his light was out. It was like I could not believe it, Pushina. Like in my mind, I was like, never in my life. This is a person that God helped you to lie to help me. His light was out. And I went in the house. I took a shower because I got off the road. We went up in the room, and we were talking, and we were sitting on the bed. And I looked at him, and then it was like he went to grab me. And he said, he grabbed me, and his eyes started to water. And I said, it's really me. I'm really here. He didn't have to say anything. I knew what it was. I said, I'm really here. His eyes started watering. We sat there and we just laughed, talking about all types of stuff, talking about all everything. And as we were talking, I saw his light start to come back on. And I just sat everything else to the side, and I just, it became not about me, it became about him. All my feelings, all the things that I felt like we should have had, we should become, all the other stuff, I sat everything to the side. Because at this time, it wasn't about me. It was about him. And I jumped on the road, and I remember going back home. I was saying, I jumped on the road, and I remember going back home. And like, wow, like, I never would have thought. And even as we realized that we couldn't, we felt like we couldn't be friends. Because it's been a lot. We went through a lot. And even today, we talked a couple of days ago, and he said to me, so I was watching Eli Lasky. I don't know if you know who this is, but it was Eli Lasky. He's a prophet online. And he said, let me tell you what the Holy Spirit is telling me. The Holy Spirit is telling me, and he's talking to people in general, and I just happened to go on this video. He said, see, we were so much caught up in being the givers, the givers, the givers. We're servants. We're servants. We're giving. We're giving. We have a problem with receiving. So when I talked to him on the phone, that's what he told me. He said, see, we were gifts to each other. He said, we were gifts to each other, and we did not know how to receive. I had just watched that video a week before I talked to him, heard him say that. We did not know how to receive.
Where are you all now that you all have come to that? Because what you have is a soul tithe. You're right, First Lady, it's a soul tithing. So what is the hope for as far as the future between the two of you all? You said you all are working that out. How are y'all doing that? How are you going about
this? So me, I'm like, I'm there to where, it's so funny because it's so funny, like we are switched roles, right? And so me, I'm like at this point where I'm like, okay, I can be a friend and I can still pray for you because I want to pray for you. You know, I want to keep praying for you that you get that healing that you need. But for him, it's hard. Because he's always, it's like, I still see you as this person that was with me, that was for me, that we were together. And so it's like, I keep opening the door and I keep letting you back in and we talk. But at the same time, I can't get over that, this part, you know, that we're not, where we were. You know, that's, he was like, and it hurts because he wants to be ourselves. Because we were, when I say authentic selves, I used to say, if you got to him, you got to me, because I know him, and vice versa. You know, so that's where we are right there. It's still like that talking. We're just talking. And I'm just looking at it as, I'm just a friend. I just want to pray for you, and I just want you to heal. That's where I'm at.
You know, it's funny because as women, we're the nurturers, and we're the ones that's kind of clingy at times over the men. But once again, the 60 minutes is just pure gone. And I mentioned that this is going to be some series on this root becoming your fruit. And I want to thank you for coming on the show this evening. I'm looking forward to you coming back so we can finish this, because this is really on a really, really deep level. When we start dealing with soul tithing, we start dealing with self validation when we deal with people. Thank you for tuning in to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. Thank you for my guest, Ms. Shayna Aspey. My name is Pachina Kirkendall. It's been a privilege and a pleasure. Just remember that I love you, but God loves you more. Have a good night. and I'll call you right back. Hello. Okay, there we go. How you doing?
I said, I hope Lucina ain't mad at me.
Not at all. Not at all. But I had to shut the show down because the show was ended. Yeah, because the timer came off on it. I was like, oh, I got it. I said, but all.